crucial
nicht in unseren Gedanken,
thing to have an ear to hear the Lord speaking.
Da noch irgendwo weg schauen, abgelenkt.
It's our hearts should not be distracted by anything, but really focus on the Lord's thing.
Sagt er eine Ermutigung. Sagt, die Augen des Sehenden werden nicht mehr zugeklebt sein.
And in verse 32, there's an encouragement.
Isaiah 30, verse 32. Möge der Herr uns beides geben.
Sorry, different verse.
Augen that the eyes of the blind shall not be closed anymore.
And the ears of the hearing shall be seeing. The eyes of the seeing shall be seeing.
Wird geläufig und verständlich reden.
And the tongue,
Jesus Christus. Ja, Herr, der Herr soll sich über uns erbarmen. Es ist keine
May the Lord really have mercy on us.
Nebensächliche
It's not something
hier, ob wir die Stimme small des Herrn hören oder nicht.
Of low importance if you hear the Lord's voice or not. May the Lord really have mercy on us.
Wirklich in diesen Tagen Licht und
that
Leben
we truly
empfangen.
Receive light and life from
Öffne
Him in this conference.
Augen.
Lord Jesus, open our eyes.
Augen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, give us an ear to hear the word. Lord, we want to gain knowledge, gain insight.
Amen.
Lord, we turn our whole hearts to you.
Amen.
That you may be the only one who is guiding us.
Amen.
Lord, give us ears to see, ears to hear, and eyes to see, and a heart that understands.
Amen.
Lord, let us not despise your word. Lord, not thinking that we already know or have attained. Lord, we tell you we don't know anything. We empty ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before God so that you can teach us.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we're only here for you and your speaking. Everything else, Lord, we cut off. Lord, we want to gain gold.
Und jetzt dein Ohr haben, dein Sprechen zu hören. Jetzt richten lassen wollen, Herr. Amen.
Und er wird sein Wohlgefallen haben an der Furcht des Herrn.
And he shall have his delight in the fear of God. Lord, we also have a healthy fear to listen what you say.
Amen.
Lord, keep such a fear in our hearts.
Amen.
Prepare us all for your return.
Amen.
Amen. Oh Lord.
Ja, lass uns zusammen Lukas 24 lesen.
So let's read together Luke
chapter
24, verse
25
to 27.
Und er sprach zu ihnen,
O foolish ones, and slow of heart,
to
believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And being beginning with Moses and all the prophets, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Halleluja.
Amen.
Tue, da
Lord, do that in these days, beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, expound to them in all the scriptures the things concerning yourself. Amen. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Lord, expound to us in all the scriptures the things concerning your Son. Amen. Concerning himself. Same chapter, verse 44 and 45. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Amen. Lord, open our understanding that we may comprehend the scriptures. Lord, open our understanding.
Amen. To comprehend in the scriptures, in
the books of Moses and the prophets, especially in Isaiah and in the Psalms.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, okay. Lord, we fully trust in you that you would open our eyes.
Amen.
In all your scriptures, we want to see you and comprehend you.
Amen.
And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6.
10,
now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Lord, give us an ear to hear your warning. Thank you, Lord, for all the examples.
Amen.
You have written us in all your warnings, admonitions.
Amen.
Also today we want to be warned from you and learn from these examples. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this time of fellowship.
Yeah.
Purify us and sanctify us so that you can speak to us from your throne. Lord, and we pray that you touch our lips with the fiery coal from the altar.
Amen.
So that we would be sanctified when speaking your word. Lord, we seek you. Cover us with your precious blood. Purify us for this fellowship.
Amen.
The Lord is wonderful. So whenever his people gathers, he has something to say to his people. Former times they blew the silver trumpets, and the people was gathering to hear God speaking. So same thing also in these days. We're here to see what the Lord wants to show us regarding his burden from the book of Isaiah. I think all of us received the outline. And the title says, "The Woes of God and the Restoration of Zion." So we will fellowship in this weekend. These 2.5 days we'll fellowship on Isaiah chapter 28 to 35. And we should all pray that the Lord really opens the scriptures to us in this weekend. We just read how the Lord was saying to his disciples when they were going to Emmaus.
Der Herr hat zu ihnen gesagt,
and he told them
etwas über sich, was in den Propheten geschrieben steht.
He told them something about himself that was written in the prophets.
Und er begann
Luke 24, verse 44 says,
und legte ihnen in allen Schriften aus, was von ihm gesagt war, von Christus gesagt.
That beginning at Moses and all the prophets, verse 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So if we read Isaiah in these days, which is one of the prophets, we want to see what is written concerning Christ. We mustn't think that Isaiah is a historical book which is old and which doesn't have anything to do with us. No, it's the word of the living God. And if you have ears to hear, then God will reveal himself to us in the book of Isaiah. And Paul also confirmed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that all these things which are written in the book of Moses and in Psalms, that they are written for our admonition and warning. It's an example for us. Why that? Because we are just as the people of Israel in the former times. We are the same thing. Today we are part of the people of God. We are born again Christians. But many times we are not much different than the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And that's why the book of Isaiah has a lot to do with us. So if we read Isaiah in these days, let us really hear the Lord's voice, what he has to say to us. These things are written for our warning, our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages has come. This is really true for us, because we are living in a time where the Lord will really come back soon. And the closer we come to the day of the Lord's return, the more we have to take heed to the scriptures, because that what is written there is for us today. We mustn't think that Isaiah was written 700 BC and it's of the Old Testament, it's ancient, and it doesn't have anything to do with us. It's surely not the case. The Bible says every scripture is inspired and breathed by God. And it has a lot to do with us. So in these days we will fellowship Isaiah 28-35. And today, in the first part, we just want to shortly see what happened in the chapters before. Because from Isaiah chapter 1 to chapter 27, so that we will all... it's like an introduction to this section. In this last month and this year, we had a lot of fellowship regarding what the Lord wants to tell us in the book of Isaiah. And we started in the first chapter. So the first section of Isaiah is from chapter 1 to 12. And we saw what is the burden of the Lord in these chapters. So one thing that the Lord is really emphasizing strongly in this first section is that the Lord God always has just a remnant from his people preserved for himself. The whole people of God is really big. There are many big quantity of the people of God. But Isaiah shows us that there is only a small percentage which is ready to listen to God speaking. For example, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Here Isaiah says, Isaiah 1 verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, is that a lot? A big crowd? Isaiah doesn't just say remnant. He doesn't even say it's a small remnant. No, he says a very small remnant. Is this a lot? And the people of God, back then, there were truly not many who really want to follow the living God. And this principle you see in the whole scriptures, even from the beginning of the Bible, with Noah, you can see that in his time there were not many who want to listen to God. I don't think that there were no believers at all. But how many were truly saved when the flood came? The whole world and creation back then was eliminated. Except how many people? 8 souls passed the water, survived the flood. So from the whole people, just 8 souls. That's not very much. So the Bible shows there is always just a very small remnant. And then later on, God delivered his whole people from Egypt. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands or millions of people God has delivered from Egypt with a mighty hand. And they were wandering, walking in the desert for 40 years. So when they were about to enter the good land, how many of those who have left Egypt entered into the good land, into the promised land? How many of them from this first generation? How many from those who left Egypt? 5,000? 3,000? There were just 2 people, Joshua and Caleb. These 2. They were a very small remnant. And God said they have a exceeding spirit of faith. These were the only 2 who entered the good land out of all the whole generation. But they were all saved. They all have left Egypt. There were no unbelievers. They didn't belong to the nations, to the Babylonians or Egyptians. No, they belonged to the people of God. They were part of the people of God. Saved by God. But in the end, only a remnant of 2 people could enter the good land. Isn't that shocking? So the Bible shows it's a very small remnant. And we don't talk about unbelievers and the Christians are a small remnant. No, it's about among the people of God, a very small remnant.
Oh, Herr.
From among God's people.
Genau das, was Jesaja uns zeigt.
That's what Isaiah shows us. And then chapter 4.
Jesaja 4, verse 3.
Isaiah 4, verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion. So there are some who are left in Zion. And who remains in Jerusalem. If God has to say such thing, it means that there are not many who remain. They will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Also here, it's just a small remnant. And then chapter 10, verse 20.
Und es wird geschehen an jenem
Isaiah 10, verse 20.
Wird der Überrest Israel,
and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, which have escaped of the house of Jacob, such that have escaped of the house of Jacob. That means not many will escape. And also verse 21, the remnant will return. The remnant will return.
Amen.
So if God talks to his people today, will all of them return? Will all repent? If God's people is in a sick condition, and God is calling them to repent, then Isaiah shows us, only a small remnant will return.
Dann Vers 22, denn wenn dein Volk, O Israel, wie der Sand am Meer werde,
for thou the people, O Israel, verse 22, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. So the whole people is like sand of the sea. It's a lot. But from this whole quantity, just a remnant of them will return.
Und dann Kapitel 11, Vers 16.
And then chapter 11, verse 16.
So wird es eine Straße geben, für wen?
And there will be a highway. For whom? For whom is a highway? For the remnant of his people. Who will be left from Assyria.
So zeigt uns das Wort Gottes, es ist immer nur
so the word of God shows there's just a small part among the people of God that truly listens to God's voice. And even the time when Jesus was living on this earth, God himself was coming to his people. And many, many people heard him. They didn't just only hear him, they even saw his miracles. How many thousands did the Lord feed? How many did he heal? How many did he save from all kinds of sickness and death? It's thousands that followed him. Sometimes there was no room for him to preach. It's not like me, who I have a lot of space here. But the Lord had to sit in a boat on the sea in order to be able to speak to the people. But in the end, how many stayed with the Lord? How many of this big multitude in these 3.5 years that followed him, how many left? How many stayed and remained? Of all those whom he has saved, who saw his miracles, who were healed, in these 3.5 years of his service, how many people remained with him? It was 12 minus 1. We cannot count Judas. So only 11. 11 people. Does it mean all his service of 3.5 years? Christ invested all this 3.5 years of his service to gain 11 people only? Who of us would do that? 11 people. It's not a lot compared to the 5,000 whom he fed. Probably it was more, it was 10,000 even, if we calculate women and children. So where did they all remain? So later, on the day of Pentecost, the Lord had 120. It's a little better. It's already more, but it's not that much. We are not even 120 here, but almost. So, a very small remnant. There were not many that really wanted the Lord. And even from the Pharisees, Sadducees, the elders, the scribes back then, those who knew the scriptures, How many of them followed Christ until the end? I don't know of any. In the beginning, we think, well, maybe Nicodemus. Yeah, Nicodemus. But in the end, he couldn't. But the tradition was much too strong. He wasn't able to escape from his background. So we think, oh, maybe later when the apostles served, maybe the situation improved. What did the Bible say about Paul and his service?
So viel gearbeitet.
It says Paul was working so much. In 1 Corinthians he says, I have worked more than all other apostles. Of course it's not him, but it's the grace of God. Together with him. But he has invested so much of his life to gain people for Christ. And many churches were brought forth through his service.
You
see the ones in Corinth, in Thessaloniki. So many people found the Lord. I don't know how many believers or churches existed back then. But how did it, what was the result?
In seinem zweiten, sogar ganz am Ende von seinem, schon fast am Ende seines Lebens.
The second, in the second epistle of to Timothy, that was close to his death in Rome. What did he say there? Did he say, oh hallelujah, we have 10,000 of believers and churches. Now I can go to the Lord. Was this his testimony? What did he write to Timothy? He told him, all of those who are in Asia have left me. He didn't just say all six out of seven churches in Asia have left with me. Have left me. And thank God one remained. No, he said all of the churches have left him. Ephesus have left him. Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Philadelphia. All these seven churches have left him. And even more of these in Asia they left him. What a result is that? Just a small remnant remained. Not many want to go the Lord's way. And later on, the Lord spoke to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And to each church, he had to say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The church in Ephesus, he even warned, if you do not repent, I will kick away your lampstand. Did they repent? No, all the lampstands disappeared. That's really what the Lord fulfilled. That the Lord fulfilled the word of Isaiah. A very small remnant remained. So you think today it's a different thing? I think that the word of God is the same for us today. It's also valid for us. And what does Isaiah say? What is the reason for that? It's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4.
Sie haben den Herrn verlassen. Sie wer?
Oh, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. Does he speak about unbelievers? No, it's children of God. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel, they have turned away backward. So the whole condition of the people of God, he described them as sick. He says, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, There's no soundness in it.
Das ganze Haupt ist krank und das ganze Herz ist kraftlos. Solch eine Beschreibung hat Jesaja über sein Volk gegeben.
The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. That's how God describes his people, to show that all his people, with regards to the relationship towards God, is sick. And he presents himself like a doctor, like a physician. Like Exodus 25, verse 16 says, I am the Lord who heals you, the Lord your physician. And that's also how God exposed the condition of his people in Isaiah. Not in order to condemn them, but like a physician to heal them, to treat them and help them. The physician gives you a diagnosis not to condemn you, but in order to help and heal you. So with him, with God, is salvation.
Wie viele von Gottes Volk sind wirklich zu dem Arzt zurückgekommen und haben sich
heilen lassen? But how many of God's people really returned to this physician and were healed? We have to see with God's eyes. If we consider the situation with our eyes, we think, oh, it's not too bad. It's all right.
Die Jesaja aufgeschrieben hat, war ein bisschen anders wie unsere Sicht.
God's viewpoint is a little different than ours. So in these days, we have to learn to come to him and learn to judge the situation with his eyes, like the doctor sees the situation, as it is written in Isaiah. And in all these chapters, God always calls them to repent after exposing the sick condition of God's people. He says, after exposing the sick condition, he says in verse 16, wash yourself, Isaiah 1 verse 16, wash yourself, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evils. He says, wash yourselves. Of course, he also says that to the unbelievers. But here he talks to the believers. This verse is talking to the believers. He's talking to us. It's about us. In verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So how many of God's people are today willing and obedient? Are we willing and obedient? Then we shall eat the good of the land. But, verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, and we don't like to hear that. We only like to read this verse, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Full stop. We always like to read the good part of the Bible. We like to talk about love, about grace and mercy. We can talk a lot about the good of the land.
But
the physician says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. By the sword. Who likes to read that? Rudy, do you like to read that? Is this your favorite verse? Nobody of us loves this word. But he says here, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Did you ever receive such speaking from his mouth? We always like to hear from him, oh, everything is wonderful. As long as you're born again, you're saved, everything is fine. When Jesus comes back, or you die, you go where? You go to heaven. Oh, we love to hear that. But I want to ask you, is that the truth? Is this what the Bible says? No. Today we have to.
Genauso wie es hier steht, ist es auch passiert.
Isa.
Sie wollten nicht auf den Herrn hören. Sie waren widerspenstig gegen den Herrn.
Sie haben same thing as today. They didn't want to hear what the Lord says. They were rebellious against the Lord and did not cease to do evil. And then what happened? God had to send judgment. God had to send judgment. This is the next big section of Isaiah. The next section talks about judgment. Isaiah talks so much about judgment. I don't know how much in percentage. And we don't love to read that either. But God will judge His people. God will not spare His people from judgment. He will not save His people from judgment. First Peter 4, verse 17 already says that the judgment of God starts where? With the unbelievers? No, it starts with the house of God. So we mustn't think that there is no judgment for the believers. But Isaiah shows in many chapters that there is judgment for all the believers. So if we don't repent and turn back to the Lord to hear His voice, He has no choice than sending us His judgment, and He will do that. Already the Gospels in the New Testament talk about that wherever it's about a kingdom of heaven and to enter the kingdom, the Lord mentions judgment, especially in the book of Matthew, where He says, He speaks about His kingdom. He says, He always warns them, when if you want to enter the kingdom, there's this and such condition. And you have to repent. And if you don't repent, judgment will come. And He described the judgment as well. Just one example from Matthew chapter 7. I will read out to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Do not all the Christians say, Lord, Lord? But not all will enter the kingdom of heaven. But who? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That means there is a condition to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of God will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not all who are born again, but those who do the will of his Father. Many will say to me in that day, which day is that? This is the day of judgment. At the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? So obviously these things were not the will of the Father. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus saying that to the believers? Depart from me, you doers of unrighteousness, of lawlessness. This is God's judgment for His people. Today, if we don't do His will, there will be judgment. That's why it is good and needed that we experience the Lord's judgment today, that we turn and repent from it. And then Isaiah shows more about his judgment regarding all the neighbors of Israel, all the nations surrounding Israel. Isaiah chapter 13 to 27. God speaks about the judgment from the nations surrounding Israel and the judgment of the whole earth. And this also shows that this judgment is coming soon. God will not only judge his people, but he will judge the whole world. But it starts with the people of God. And then the whole world will be judged. So we also see here that in the last 3.5 years of this age, God will judge the whole world. And we are shortly before this time when the Lord really has grace on us. And after describing God's judgment on all the nations and on the whole world, God is addressing again his own people, starting in chapter 28. God is focusing again on his people, and he's giving them again a chance to repent. And he's talking to them 6 woes.
He's saying
six woes to his people. 5 of them are for his people, and 1 is for the at the end of times, for the one who destroys everything. God loves, wants to give his people the chance to repent. And this is why he's talking to us such word today. And he's giving us the woes to his people, so that today we have the chance to repent and come back to the will of God. So when we fellowship on this chapter and these days, we have to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be part of that remnant. Also these woes, I want to consider them seriously before you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for your virtues. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us on that weekend. Lord, we really want to be part of this remnant.
Amen.
Thank you for your warnings, that you touch our hearts to make us willing and obedient.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you for your judgments, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we pray you judge us today. Amen. That we would know the will of the Father.
Amen.
And that we would do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, judge us today.
Amen.
To be prepared for your coming. Lord, touch every point that needs your judgment. We come to you as our physician and our judge, so that today we would be safe for your coming. Thank you, Lord, that you do not forsake us, but you give us a chance to repent today. Lord, we want to take heed to your warnings. Be healed already today. Lord, we tell you with all our heart that we want to be part of this very small remnant. Judge everything in us that needs to be judged, so that we can be part of that very small remnant.
Amen.
Vater, wir beten, dass du ein Volk für dich gewinnst.
Amen.
Selbst wenn es nur ein kleiner Überrest ist.
Lord, we pray that you have people that is for you, even if it may be just a small, very small number. We pray that you have such people that serves you faithfully.
Amen.
And Lord, we want to be part of it. Lord, we want to be part of this world.
Amen.
Lord.
Ja, machen wir kurz 10 Minuten Pause, wir sind 20.